rabbit, they run deep. I ain't the bad guy, I didn't shoot anyone, but you got me running like the last Wild West outlaw. You got me hiding in the shadows. Been a long, long time since I've seen the sun. I ride by night like an outlaw. Wanted dead or alive for having too much fun. Yeah, yeah. I try to make a living, but your work day never stops. It's a trail well ridden, never takes you to the top. I don't want to change things, just the right to choose. But you got me singing those desperado blues. You got me hiding in the shadows. Been a long, long time since I've seen the sun.
Of course, a fine interview we just heard, taking up what has usually Bathroom Spears Broadsides, not its time space, but time space we've been using. But I want to thank George for doing a fine interview. And again, the person you were talking to, George, was Tanya Reinhardt. If you want to catch more, George may mention it again at her 3 o'clock show, as she's already said. This is Bathroom Spears Broadsides, usually about 3.5 hours of mostly talk, some interviews, long monologues by yours truly. I'm Robert Norse. Some music, and hopefully something from you out there, the public. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, www.microradio.net. Actually, now it's www.freakradio.org. I think either of those web addresses will get you to the live stream and possibly even to some archives. I actually don't use the web much. But for those of you who are out of the area, that's the way to hear us, and you're welcome to call in. You're calling in from out of the area. It's 831-427-3772, 831-427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's us. And this show concerns itself with civil rights in Santa Cruz. We try to take a particularly local perspective on all this. And in aid of that, with us today, hoping the second mic works, which it usually does, sometimes better than the first mic, we have activist, Former Homeless Issues Task Force member, actually member of the former Homeless Issues Task Force, who did months and months of work only to see it all thrown in the trash can, and a keen observer of the homeless scene who's been watching the latest expansion of anti-homeless bigotry, Marilyn McGrath. Hey, Marilyn, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay, talk real close to that mic. Imagine you're kissing it almost. It's sort of a romantic relationship you have with your audience here.
Okay.
And I know you have been kind of following this longer than I have. You sent me a phone message as long as 2 weeks ago warning me about signs, no parking signs, coming up on numerous streets at the end of Pacific near the beach. Kind of, at the end of Pacific, and I guess the cross street there is what? Front Street, where Front Street curves over and intersects with Pacific?
Spruce Street.
Spruce.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently a lot of folks park their vehicles there. It's not residential. It's not even really business. It's kind of blank area around that curve. I think there's a halfway house or a home there of some sort. And there's mischief afoot, serious mischief, that we may actually just be there watching grimly watching this drama unfold. What's going on there with the no parking situation? I know that you've been following that closely.
They posted signs on Wednesday, June 4th, up and down those streets. And here's what they say. The City of Santa Cruz Public Works Department has received a request to change the uncontrolled on-street parking to no parking 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. along non-residential frontages only on the following streets south of Laurel. Washington Street, both sides between Laurel and Pacific. Center Street, both sides between Laurel and Pacific. Front Street, south side between Spruce and Pacific. And the public comment period is June 4th to June 18th. So sounds like they want you to write a letter, although there's an email thing here. And if you want more information, and you can leave a message on this, there's a phone number, 420-5185. It's 420-5185. And it says this work will be initiated 2 weeks after public notice. So, if there's no public outcry in opposition or no public outcry for a public hearing on this matter, it's just going to happen, just like it's happened in many other areas around town. This is targeted totally at people who live in vehicles and park along these streets in their vehicles and aren't parked by any residential. In fact, it's very blank pretty much where they park. On Washington Street, there's a parking lot on one side and the Homeless Garden Project's small garden on the other. And on Center Street in that area, they park along near the corner there, which is right by the feed store, which is out of business now, since that's all going to become a huge park.
What park is that, Marilyn?
It's called a transportation park. It's going to address a lot of, I guess, connect bike routes and stuff. I don't know. I haven't seen the plan, but people have told me. And there did have a posting down there. I didn't really read it real closely. Where people are parking is not where people are living. So it's really targeted pretty much like they did in the Harvey West area, where there were no homes there and people were parking there, and all of a sudden between, I believe it was 1 and 5 a.m. also, they did the same thing.
Actually, I think it was 5 to 7 that they started with, but it may have expanded.
Oh, that's right. I'm wrong. I remember now that you bring that up.
This went through city council. It was done initially during the late summer, I believe, by either Public Works or whatever department probably is doing this. Mm-hmm. And then Emily Riley kind of championed it. They called it the Riley proposal. She wasn't mayor at the time. This was back in 2000, around the time of, 2001, actually, around the time of Camp Paradise, unless I'm missing my year here. And she supported it. And she actually passed a resolution, I think, supporting it, or made comments to that effect at City Council. I'm trying to remember again. I got to go back to my records. But this was supposed to be, this was a direct reaction in Harvey West to the actions of the Harvey West Residential Association, who came down to city council and complained that these campers were ruining their area and so forth. And, of course, it doesn't have anything to do with camping. You don't have to be camping at all. It's illegal citywide to sleep in a vehicle anywhere. That's just a crime, crazy as it is, and abusive as it is toward people whose only place to live is their vehicles. But if you park your vehicle, and, of course, if you park a vehicle anywhere for more than 72 hours now, anywhere in the city, it can be stored and towed. It can be towed away. It won't be stored. It'll be fined for it, and then it'll be sold off unless you pay off the fines and so forth. So this is just a way to stop people from even parking their vehicles and going somewhere else at night, right? I mean, if they wanted to get rid of people who are sleeping, they could go knock on the doors and say, but this is just another harassment measure to make sure that nobody even thinks of parking there, right?
Right. I mean, you know, they could do that, yeah. It's just another way of moving people along. And, you know, maybe the city's way of getting rid of the homeless... homelessness in Santa Cruz, which is their five-year plan, and maybe their plan is to just get rid of homeless people, move them out of Santa Cruz. It seems like that, instead of trying to come to solutions, it seems like the city is a big part of the problem. If you keep punishing people for human right of being able to sleep at night, things aren't going to get any better. It's not going to change. There are no great ideas they've come up with, and when ideas were presented to them from the Homeless Issues Task Force, they were really ignored. So that was just a smokescreen anyway, that whole task
force. What ideas do you remember that came from the Homeless Issues Task Force that you think the City Council could and should have considered? I remember some, but you were on that task force until you resigned at the very end, and then tell us also why you resigned.
Oh, trying to remember all this, my mind.
Right.
My memory isn't as good. There were so many. It was a huge... undertaking a lot of research.
By a non-homeless staff person, in spite of our attempts to get some, staffers. It was a job for Don Lane, a political insider who is a pal of Catherine Byers, and who also soft-pedaled, soft-soaped, and deep-sixed numerous resolutions. I remember the main ones were emergency resolutions, the first half of the Homeless Issues Task Force, which involved opposition to the entire camping ordinance, something about safe sleeping spaces at night. There was something about rent control, and there were two or three other emergency resolutions that then Mayor Keith Sugar and Mayor Catherine Byers refused to look at in the fall of 99 and winter of 2000, the winter of 99-2000 when that happened. And then at the end, Sugar deep-sixed the entire resolutions and buried them all. I think the only thing that ever got done was kind of a parallel formation of a homeless resource officer, Officer Seeley, who became the... kind of a paid position for the police, who was supposed to be a liaison, but he was supposed to get what the Homeless Issues Task Force asked for, as I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, was homeless training, right? They wanted homeless people
right.
to give input and train
yeah.
police officers, and has that happened?
They say it's happened. I couldn't tell you for sure. They say
I haven't
that
even
they
heard they've said it's happened. I was kind of setting you up with a question there, but I know, as far as I know, there's no, formal... meeting with homeless people to get input back and forth, or a kind of a syllabus of homeless concerns that's presented to officers who are working in the Homeless Resource Center or other so-called quote homeless beats. Again, these signs going up on Spruce and Pacific and thereabouts, you should give a call to 420 right now. Give a call. It's a message machine, so you can call them now. Just pick up your phone and call 420-5185, 421-5185. I'll repeat that number again in a moment if you want to get a pencil. 420-420-5185. I think it's P. White, and the name of the P is a...
Paige White is the name.
It's Paige, right. It's a woman named Paige. But also call 420-5020. That's the Santa Cruz City Council. And leave them a message and tell them you want this on the City Council agenda. This impacts poor and homeless people. You demand to know what kind of input social service providers have given to this proposal, whether there's an alternate space where people can go so that people are not going to be driven away. And, turn up the heat on these people, not because it's necessarily going to do a lot of good, but because it's, first of all, relatively, if you have a phone at home, if you're listening to this show from your home, it's something you can do that will put them on notice that there at least are some people concerned about this issue. Again, the two numbers, grab your pencil, 420-5185, 420-5185. And I guess you can also send an email to P. White at the city address for Santa Cruz, which is ci.santa-cruz.ca.us. That's a longer one. This is the Public Works Department, in case you want to call the clowns who are really managing this this anti-homeless bigotry directly. This is actually happening at the same time as permit parking is happening citywide, which includes a much larger criminalization of parking at night that will probably go into effect in January, as I understand. I'm still not clear of the effective date. It was passed by City Council in April, and then the downtown specifically was ruled an area, a permit parking area, against significant public opposition. And in violation of the Transportation Commission's concerns, which wanted this matter to come back to it, on last Tuesday, that was also passed by City Council, and then that broader series of no parking signs at night will go in presumably on January 1st, but possibly before. But these signs are going to go in around the Homeless Garden Project, Flower Project, and at the end of Pacific Avenue. Probably, I don't know whether it's within 2 weeks of June 4th or within 2 weeks of June 18th. It's probably within two weeks of June 18th, right? That's my guess. What do you think?
I think it's because of from posting.
Oh, from posting. Because see, well, the point
public
is.
Notice, and this was public notice was posted then. So I'm assuming if they don't hear by June 18th, any opposition that's going on
it
as
could be.
Planned, and it may go on as planned anyway. But I'd like to know also. It says the city of Santa Cruz Public Works Department has received a request to change the uncontrolled on-street parking to, and then they describe this. I'd like to know who requested that.
Right.
Also,
and Marilyn, to find that out, what you do is you make another phone call to that number, which again is 420-5185, and say, this is a Public Records Act request, Paige White. I would like you to make available for me at the Public Works desk a copy of any correspondence, any discussion of this issue that's been happening internally and who is behind it. And they are supposed to provide you, according to law, all emails, all written memos, all agendas, all information about this issue. So while it's a little late in the game to get it, it's not necessarily too late, because this is a kind of a process that they are going to be using, I suspect, again.
Oh, yeah, it's just a plan to continue to go through the city, and wherever people are parking, put up signs. And it's
right.
Wrong, and it's punitive measures for what? It's just ridiculous.
We don't want your kind around here, Marilyn.
It's really terrible. It's really terrible, and it reflects
really
on the whole community as a whole, and it's very mean-spirited, and it's very... I don't know.
Oh,
it's very charming.
We want to get rid of the bums and the ne'er-do-wells. These poor people, they haven't got any money to spend in our shops. And besides, why don't they move to Fresno, as I've often said? Perhaps our callers can kind of set you straight. You seem to have some sort of bleeding liberal heart notion of this whole matter. Give a call and give Marilyn, you know, a piece of your mind here at 427-3772 and let her know that, you know, she may whine and beg and plead for homeless people, but in fact, the city is doing the right thing here by making sure that we have the right kind of people here.
Well, I want to make sure, if nothing else, that people actually, if they do think this is not a good thing to do, please get a hold of him. Get a hold of these people. And here's the address. I'll say it very slowly because I think this is the only way, and probably hand deliver it down there because it's too late for the mails to work, unless you do an email. But the address, if you want to address it on your letter, is the City of Santa Cruz Public Works Department, Traffic Engineering Division, 809 Center Street, room 201, Santa Cruz, California, 95060. Attention, P. White. So that just, if you think it's wrong, do something.
If you forget that address, remember, it's the Public Works Department.
Yeah.
I mean, that will do it. If you walk into the City Hall complex and say, I got a letter for the Public Works Department, they'll point you to the right building. You walk up there, get them to stamp and date a copy of it so you can have a copy back to prove that you have made a protest about it. And then, frankly, I would be grateful if you would bring that information to a Huff meeting, or let us know about it here on the air at Bathrop Spears Broadsides Free Radio. The number to call, in case you have forgotten our fine phone number, is 427-3772. If you want to leave a message off air that you've given a call, maybe you got some interesting response from them, call the Huff line at 423-HUFF. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, civil rights group including both housed and unhoused people, 423-4833, 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, easy to remember. Again, the number to call if you want to set these Paige and her pals at the Public Works Department right, set them straight, it's 420-5185, 420-5185, and the City Council's number, which you can actually leave a message for the entire City Council if you want, or for any particular individual if you feel you have a special relationship or whatever, it's 420-5020, 420-5020. We're talking with Marilyn McGrath. Marilyn, anything else happening in terms of, I don't know, assaults on homeless people, tickets, things on the horizon we should know about that you've noticed and you're concerned about, stuff you've noticed downtown? You know, of course, we have a very colorful, attractive, and sightly planter railing in front of the Costa Brava, which is going to make sure that the wrong kind of people don't plant their questionable behinds on that space. They've removed 30 seating spaces there at the Costa Brava Pacific Trading Company store area, which I guess they feel they own the sidewalks too. Any comments on any of that?
Oh, I think that's all a bunch of crap. I mean, you know, I don't really shop downtown very much anymore. It's an unfriendly place to be. Lost the benches, a lot of benches. It's just not a friendly town like it used to be, the downtown area. After the earthquake, they designed it so people would come in quickly, spend money, leave, and it took the flavor of downtown and all the eclectic whatever, you know.
We have a phone call here.
Oh,
hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert and Marilyn.
Hi.
How you doing?
Well,
Jennifer.
Better now that you're here.
Excellent. Listen, I wanted to ask Marilyn, how you doing, Marilyn? Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm great. It's a nice Sunday. I wanted to ask you, are they going to eliminate the 12-hour parking spaces up by Delaware and Schaefer Road? And also, are they eliminating the overnight parking spaces down in front of the Woman's Garden down there on Washington Street?
Yes, they are. I don't know about the west side. I truly don't. I'm not sure what they're doing out there. But right by the garden in that one little kind of half-block area, that's all going to be eliminated.
So, okay. All right. I was curious about that because I'd heard that that's like one refuge spot where people can go and almost free park for the beach and walk up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious.
Yeah, that's it. They're just trying to eliminate everything that's doable, that is actually working for people now. Anything that people discover might work and works well, and nobody's bothering anyone over there. They're just wanting a place to be safe and sleep. And anyway, well.
Has there been any, excuse me for interrupting for a minute, Jennifer.
Okay.
Any documentation? That's something else, by the way, that if you do want to call Paige White today and ask her, and as a Public Records Act request, have there been any police complaints or letters from the area concerning misbehavior by people in vehicles of sufficient intensity to justify this rather serious elimination? So they're eliminating seating space downtown. Now they're eliminating parking space for people who need a place to park overnight. And, of course, this will drive them into other areas where there will be more congestion and hence more complaints. But I suggest, again, that the people who are interested in this, write a letter or, easier, make a phone call to Paige White, again, at 420-5185, and ask for copies of complaints and any kind of letters of concern from the citizenry on this subject.
Yeah, I think we have to act. I got busy and didn't act on this soon enough. But hopefully there's a way we can get a public hearing. It may be too late for that. I don't know. If there's enough public outcry, maybe we can get a public hearing and then do something.
That's the first thing
it
to do, is to demand a public hearing on this issue, either before the City Council or before one of the city commissions. And the way to do that is, I guess, the Public Works. Is there a Public Works Commission? I think there may well be. I know they've been cutting back on commission times. There's a downtown commission. Maybe the thing to do is to ask the downtown commission Although I think the Downtown Commission passed this stupid permit parking thing last time 6-1 with only Bob Guzley opposing it. Hang in there, Bob. But again,
permit parking, what are you talking about, Robert?
They passed, well, they did, they may not have actually known about these signs, because I think the signs may have come out after, June 4th may have been after the last meeting of the Downtown Commission. And as usual, in the shadowy backroom dealings of these staff agencies, they don't let the public commissions know about it. This two-week so-called window from June 14th to June 18th for public comment on this very limited series of signs and no parking at night stuff doesn't provide an opportunity for a commission that meets every 2 months to even know about it, much less address it. What I'm saying is that at the Downtown Commission meeting, they did support the broader go ahead and, you know, to make the whole city a permit parking area, go ahead and make the downtown a permit parking area with the anti-homeless signage, which would go up on January 1st, as I suspect anyway. I'm not entirely sure of that, which will make it illegal to park even on non-residential streets between 1 and I think it's 7. This says 1 to 5, but I think it was a longer period but maybe not. Maybe it is 1 to 5. So there are actually two parallel processes happening here. One is a speedy process that's dealing with a few streets where they're actually targeting homeless vehicles now. The other is a broader policy which in essence says Jews and homeless people get out.
Well,
declare that clear, yeah.
I wanted to also say that, say all the parking spaces that are available to, like the 12-hour parking or the ones downtown go away, and there's also permit parking allowed, say, in some of the bigger parking lots that you see around town, has there been any documentation on someone going in there to say, I want to park my vehicle, you know, during the morning and afternoon hours, you know, for permit parking? Has there been any documentation of any hostility or discrimination against homeless people that want to park a camper, say, near the beach in a permit parking space? Do you know that, Marilyn, at all?
I do. I was, I finally received, I was able to get a parking permit for parking lot 24, which is designated, it's right next to the Homeless Garden Projects Workshop, 127 Washington. And it's designated for UCSC student parking, WHRF employee parking, and people who work in the area can get a permit to park there. And we had another vehicle that needed a place to park when I was at work. And so first my husband went down, and he was treated very rudely and told that, you know, didn't think he could get it. You know, we could get it. We have a legal car, insured, all the whole schmear and all that, because we have a van. And the magic thing is, if you have something that's big enough to sleep in, they assume that you're going to camp there. And so it was very difficult to get this permit, but we finally did. And one of the things I think that may have changed their mind is that, you know, I feel discriminated against, that you're making it hard or trying to make it impossible for me to receive a permit. I'm willing to pay to park my vehicle, and it's ridiculous that you're not giving it to me. It's discrimination, and the next step is city council. I'm going to just tell everybody how you run this place. And I went in the next time, because I also called, and I went in person, and I was all ready to just, you know, blast them in any way I could, just so I could get this permit. And I got it.
Well, so I hope people don't have as much trouble as you did trying to get a permit that is paid for and available to everyone. Is that right? I mean, it's supposed to be available to everyone.
Yeah,
so
I imagine that they're going to make it very difficult for people who don't have a residential address. They can say they work downtown. I mean, I think that they're going to require some sort of... I had to prove that I worked right next door to this parking lot, and then they were still giving me a hard time about it. So they're assuming the worst before they even give you a chance to do anything. So I'm assuming that when this permit parking thing goes into effect, that they will discriminate against people who are willing to pay to park a car, any vehicle, if you... maybe use 115 Coral Street as an address. I'm sure that will just ace you out, because that's the homeless Resource Center. Many people use that as an address unless you can prove you have a residence. You have to have a residence. You have to prove some sort of a residence. Whether you have someone say you can use my address as your residence, and that's one way people get around it, I'm sure. But in any event, I'm sure that they will discriminate against homeless people. I know that I can't remember which city council person. It might have been Mike Rotkin. I'm not sure who said it'll be open to everybody. It'll actually help homeless people. They'll be able to purchase parking permits.
That was Ed Porter. Yeah.
Oh, was it Ed Porter?
Not a word was said about that. That was in April. Said that at the permit parking.
Uh-huh.
Are you talking about the permit parking discussion?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then 2 months later. He had not a word to say when I demanded some kind of response from city council, whether they've sought input and what kind of provisions they're making for homeless people. Porter was silent. Rotkin's only comment was, oh, Robert Norris wants to drive people into residential zones and let them park there. And, of course, the specific prohibition was to put up signage in non-residential areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rotkin was way off base. We played him last week on that. But, again, all he does is he plays to the crowd to try to reassure and discredit and derail any legitimate accusations that may be coming up without addressing them in any significant substantive way. That's what he's done repeatedly in my experience as mayor in 1996 and as council member in 2003.
Robert and Marilyn, thank you for letting me talk, and I'll be listening.
Don't forget to call 420-5185.
Bye.
Bye, Jennifer.
So, yeah, give a call to 427 Free Radio Santa Cruz, 427-3772, if you want to reach us on the air. Boy, a lot of phone numbers going out here, but got to have a pencil with this show. This is sort of activist radio, and we need to get more active. And I know, Marilyn, you were asking whether Huff or other activists were going to be tabling downtown to try to alert the community to this latest nonsense. And I had hoped to table yesterday and today, and hadn't. I finally had gotten a rough draft of a flyer together, but I don't have other people to table with at this time. If people want to do some tabling, they should call the show. Maybe we can actually set it up, because I do have a table. I've got chairs. I've got signs. They may try to move us along. They've been doing that and we've been submitting to these unconstitutional violations. I don't know how long I'm going to keep submitting to this stuff. I'm a pretty cranky character when it comes to my First Amendment rights, and I think it's going to stop soon. We're telling ourselves we're preparing a big response so that those of our regular listeners know that if you table for more than an hour in any one place, that is illegal now. You have to move 100 feet and can't come back for 24 hours, which, of course, destroys any labor dispute display where you're trying to boycott or raise issues about a certain place. You're not allowed to do it, which is, of course, simply a violation of the right to assemble and the right to petition for a redress of grievances. And it's wrong. The trouble is, in order to challenge it, some of us are going to either have to go to jail or take tickets, and we want to do so in the best way, and we're going to have to do that. There's no question about it. I don't think the city's going to back down until it gets hit in the pocketbook. But in the meantime, we're trying to let the community know, if you want to help this effort to stop the move-along law, you can give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF. You can call Free Radio here and talk about the issue, 427-3772, FRSC. You can call the city council at 420-5020 and demand to be put back on the agenda for a reevaluation. Rotkin, our favorite guy, promised after 6 months there would be a reevaluation. It's supposed to come up in July, all these downtown ordinances. But that is about as likely to happen as snow downtown on August 1st, I'm afraid. So unless there's massive pressure, nothing is going to happen. And frankly, I think calling the council is good, and I urge you to do it. We also need, however, some activist pressure on the streets. We need boycotts of merchants proposed against merchants who are supportive of these things, like the Pacific Trading Company, which is has removed the seating space along the planter at Walnut and Pacific. And in order to do that, again, we need to organize. So give a call to 423-HUFF if you want to help Huff. If you want to help other organizations, you can certainly form your own and do your own, your own organizing. SCAN, Santa Cruz Action Network, at one time took positions against the downtown ordinances, but then, of course, did nothing beyond that. I think they're working on elections and the budget. But they've come out with an interesting series of proposals on the budget, which I'm going to talk about later. We're in the studio with Marilyn McGrath, and you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I think what we're going to do is take a tiny bit of a musical break, and then we'll come rolling back and hopefully you'll come rolling back with us, either in person or with your ear to the radio.
I'll give a dime. I'll say I'm sorry. I haven't got.
Album. Actually, I think it was a special a cappella cut he did for us here in the studio. His album is Johnny Smith, Hollywood, and he's a local man. Coral Rock, or Coral Brun, is also with his group. You earlier heard Mike True doing his song Desperado Blues. Mike is suing the city for seizing his CDs and arresting him and citing him for selling his art downtown, his music, that is, his craft, while he was performing. We're in the studio with Marilyn McGrath, who has to leave very quickly. Marilyn, however, you wanted to add a final note about this bogus claim that Rotkin makes about the homeless clustering in residential areas. The area being targeted, again, by the parking, Page White parking stuff, the new signs, is non-residential. And again, the number to call to stop that is 420-5185. If you haven't been listening, call to say, have a public hearing before you remove spots where people can park at night, because it's obviously anti-homeless. But Meryl, what's your take on this residential issue?
Well, I can tell you, I live in a vehicle and have for quite a few years, and of the many people that I know who do live in vehicles, no one really wants to park in front of someone's house in a residential area. It just is not what people want to do, and over the years, people have found places away from residential areas, like the west side of town, Delaware, Natural Bridges Boulevard, down here, these areas that they're targeting now, on Washington Center and Pacific, and in any event, those are places people have found that they can park and be away from residential areas. And so in eliminating these areas, they're not going to squeeze people out of town. They might be pushing people right back into, you know, what they don't want, what they think is horrible. Residential areas. I think the only time that people I've known that have parked in a residential area is because they have permission of the person that lives in the house, and they either park in the driveway or right in front of that person's house. But I don't know if people who like parking in residential areas or do so, they park away in industrial areas. And so it seems like the city's trying to, actually squeeze those people into other areas, which could be verging on the outskirts of residential areas, which would just let them wreak havoc on homeless people in those vehicles. Anyway, it's ridiculous. There's no solutions trying to be figured out at all.
Solutions are going to come when people stand up and assert themselves. That's always the way it is. I mean, when black people tried to keep a low profile, they got lynched, they got beaten, they got discriminated against, they got segregation. It's only when folks, black folks and other folks concerned with equal rights for everyone, stood up and said, this has got to end, that where power started responding. Power, as Frederick Douglass says, concedes nothing unless it's presented with a demand. Nice talk, sweet babble doesn't do it. You need to have people organized together, firm and clear, and unbending in what are their basic rights and needs. In that situation, then you can start negotiating and talking. But without that power, you know, you hide and you run and you hide and you run. Marilyn, thanks for being with us. And if people want to, you know, do more, they can contact the City of Santa Cruz Public Works Department. Again, 420-5185. We have a call. Let's see who's on the line here. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Oh, I don't think you guys are transmitting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Really? That would be a bummer.
You're supposed to be on 96.3, right?
Yeah, but there is a large station out in your area of Aramito which has been blasting and covering us up. Is that what you're getting?
Yeah, that's actually the Christian channel.
Right, I'm afraid that we are broadcasting, but you got to come closer to town to hear us, because I can hear us coming over our own radio. So that's the story.
They're not supposed to be on this frequency.
Well, on masturbation on Free Radio Santa Cruz right before George's long interview with the activist, and I couldn't, you know, I first I heard it and then it got blasted out by some rock music.
Well, it's
anyway, thanks for the call and letting us know.
Okay,
alrighty,
because I'm on 30th Avenue and I heard you guys fine last night.
Yeah, I mean, and I usually can hear us fine too, but today I couldn't when I drove in.
Well, maybe they'll fix it.
I hope so. Right. Sorry about that.
Okay, bye.
Bye bye. Yeah, that's the trials and tribulations of being an outlaw station. We, of course, we can complain, and I think members of the public should complain about a community radio station being blasted out by some private, I don't know, I'm not quite sure what station is blasting us out at the moment. But, of course, corporate control of the airwaves, since the Democrats allowed that to happen. Now, you hear a lot of flack about Bush's latest FCC Mike Powell stuff, but it was the Democrats under Clinton who did this back in 96 as well. So, and it refused to allow meaningful micro-power legalization, which would mean we could turn from being outlaws to being in-laws. Of course, who likes in-laws? I don't know. I guess outlaws are just as good. You can be either an outlaw or an in-law to Free Radio by giving a call to 427-3772. Phone lines are open if you can hear us. Looks like somebody can. We're getting a phone call here. Hi, you too are on Free Radio.
Hello, am I on Free Radio?
Yes?
Yeah, I had experienced that similar problem with the radio cutting in and out around 41st Avenue.
Uh-huh.
But I think one possible solution is if you put your radio on the side of your building that's closest to Santa Cruz instead of being closest to 41st Avenue, then you'll block the signal from that other radio station.
Hmm.
You should be able to hear Free Radio a little bit better.
Interesting.
So I have my radio on the Santa Cruz side of my house, and it is picking up Free Radio just fine. But if I drive around in the car, and like you say, it's a problem.
Yeah, because then you're on 38th Avenue.
Yeah, 38th Avenue.
So I also know that you work with different civil rights groups, caller Mimi Abu Jamal Support Group, and I guess you attended the Juneteenth ceremony yesterday at fair, flea market.
Yeah, I went there for a few minutes. It was kind of interesting. We had Mike Smith out there complaining about how voting machines, the new automatic voting machines, don't have to generate a paper trail, and how that may be a problem if they have to do a recount. You know, how do you do a recount from a broken down electronic machine?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty difficult to impossible.
A couple hundred people are at this thing. There were a couple hundred people in attendance at Laurel Park yesterday afternoon.
Right.
Yeah, I wish I'd gotten to it. It's one of those things that I didn't get to. I guess Juneteenth is the celebration of the Emancipation Proclamation when it finally reached the black community, I guess 6 months after Lincoln proclaimed it in the winter of 1862-63, is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if anybody has any reports from there, what happened, or updates on critical mass, I know we're looking to see what's happened to the biker who was hauled off by the police in this... Not just attack on critical mass in Santa Cruz, but apparently there was an attack in Seattle, and there was an attack in another large city. I'd like to hear about it. But any reports of upcoming meetings that you might have, caller, that you want people to know about?
Oh, well, we have the Santa Cruz Coalition for Mimi Abu Jamal is meeting tonight, Sunday, at my house, 925 38th Avenue, number 35.
Is there a number people can call if they wanted to listen to that more slowly, or maybe show, you know, provide support but not show up, or...
You can call 425-4467.
425-4467, that's the Mimi number?
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of Mumia, I know that activist Jim Costner has been active around the Mumia issue in the past, and I think he has a court hearing coming up this week for those who are interested over in San Jose. I think it's the 7th.
Yeah, I can read that off to you. That's,
go ahead.
Let's see. It's going to be 9 a.m. June 17th, Department 55, Santa Clara, to 1095 Homestead Road. So it's kind of, it's near downtown San Jose, but...
Is it San Jose or Santa Clara?
It's Santa Clara, but it's kind of close to downtown San Jose.
Okay. This is 9 a.m., and it's June 17th?
Yeah, June 17th, the Tuesday.
That's Tuesday. And what's the nature of the hearing, do you know?
It is to determine the value of the statue, how much he's supposed to pay.
Yeah, this is Jim Costner, for those who may remember, smashed the Columbus statue in front of the San Jose City Hall with a sledgehammer and then served some time in jail and was given initial restitution estimates were like $63,000, and he has 5 years probation, and it's a pretty hefty deal, and Jim's been struggling to get all that together. And he'll be showing up, I guess, at in Department 65, 9 a.m. on Tuesday, day after tomorrow.
Right.
At 1095 Homestead Road in Santa Clara.
And I haven't gotten any calls yet for people who want rides, so if people want to ride, they can call 425-4467. Might have room in my car for a couple people.
Okay, I'll mention that number again, and we're talking with...
John Kilking.
Okay, John. Anything else, any other updates you want to give us?
Not at this time. Not that I can think of.
Well, keep your radio on the Santa Cruz side of your house.
Yeah. If you live on the east side, put your radio on the west side of your house.
What if you simply live underground? Then what do you do?
I don't know.
We'll find out. Hey, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Well... if you're listening, you're listening to Free Radio, 96.3 FM. If you want to call, the number is 427-3772. If you want to take the train, jump on board. I hear a little train hopping is a good idea. I'm going to have to try some myself before I disappear from the globe. If you want to catch me by email, you can give a call to, or I should say, give an email to R. Norse, R-N-O-R-S-E, R. Norse, at hotmail.com, all that in small letters, rnorse@hotmail.com. If for some reason you prefer to send something longer on the email, I will be checking in at least every hour to see what's going on. And we will check it out. Let's catch a few interviews, and then we'll return to your phone calls if you're calling in, and to some more commentary by yours truly. We're going to be going today till 1:30, maybe even a little later, until, of course, the sirens come in and catch us. Get back! Get back! Wait! No, just kidding, although we are concerned to have people alert, but at any time, the FCC may decide that a little too much truth may be a violation of national security, and we are on yellow alert and all that sort of thing, after all. I'll be doing a little update on Iraq as well a little bit later in the show. I'm also going to be calling attorney Kate Wells and activist Thomas Levitt. Kate Wells recently sent a letter to city attorney John Barasani demanding to know why he supports torture. And we're going to be talking with her about that. If we can catch her, she has her family in town. We may not be able to catch her. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm actually calling you from out of state. I used to live in Santa Cruz a long, long time ago, so I know... the old history of how Santa Cruz has been to people like me who would, wander into town for a day or two and camp out and hang out and then leave.
What state are you calling from, Colin?
Olympia, Washington.
Wow.
You guys are being carried here on 91.3 FM.
Excellent. Thank you, Olympia, Washington. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think it would be really interesting for people here to know a little thumbnail sketch of the history of Santa Cruz in that way, because we're facing the same kind of issues. The downtown shop owners who don't like the Catholic worker kitchen and the economic pressures and, the sort of half-assed liberalism, which way will it spin, and the story of Santa Cruz towards homeless people before and after the earthquake, I think, has a lot to teach us up here. So, and I don't personally get it myself exactly how these people worked so much economic pressure, the real estate people or whomever, and how the so-called liberals in City Hall and downtown or whatever rolled over for them.
How long ago were you in town, caller?
I lived mostly in Boulder Creek and Ben Lomond, but that was in the mid-'80s, so that was a while ago.
Well, let me ask you first, because I'd be happy to do that. I'm just wondering what kind of schemes are they pushing in Olympia? Olympia's a town of, what, 100,000?
There's like three cities together that are about 100,000 people, yeah, something like that.
And do you have any estimates of how many homeless folks there are?
I'm just giving my own figure, many hundreds.
Uh-huh.
But I don't really know.
Probably several thousand, actually, at least, is my guess.
Yeah, I don't know, really.
So what kind of stuff are they doing up there that, you say they're going after a food serving operation. Actually, I was hoping to get a call today from a guy in San Diego. His name is Howard Martinez. He's with a peace church down there. I think a fundamentalist peace church. Maybe it's a war church, but it's a peace, at least as far as giving out pieces of food. And he's getting hassled by the San Diego authorities. Santa Cruz is not experiencing food hassling, but they mentioned food hassling up in Olympia. Anything else that's coming down the pike at you?
Yeah, they've been trying to camp down on car camping. let's see, there's variable kind of like law enforcement and harassment downtown. Definitely the and now the Bread and Roses, the Catholic Worker Kitchen that's offered food daily downtown, is being dislocated, and there's a huge debate about where will it, you know, which not in my backyard location will it be? How remote from downtown? How difficult to access? Those kind of things are happening.
This is an indoor feeding operation?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, usually it's the outdoor feeding operations that get the shaft, but up in, for example, Marin County, the famous, it's either St. Vincent's or St. Anthony's, I can never get a clear name on that, but probably the best quality food being served, with the exception of our own Potter's Hand, which only serves once a week and is serving right now as I speak for the local listeners. Get your butts down to Loudoun Nelson Center and get a real tasty breakfast. Compliments of Reverend Pastor Dennis Adams, and he's really great on that. And then later today, between 2 and 3, thereabouts, or maybe a little after, on Pacific Avenue, out there in the open air, in spite of the police and merchant complaints, they are still there. But yeah, in Marin, they ran off, they were trying to run off this excellent serving operation, which serves three meals a day to homeless people. And three good meals a day. I mean, it beats restaurant food as far as I'm concerned. You can have as much as you want. It's free. They wanted to move them from the downtown area of San Rafael in Marin County. And the community rebelled. They said no. Now, how do you fight that? Again, start talking with other organizations about it. Start going to their meetings. Start publicizing it with letters to the editor. Start demanding public records on what kinds of decisions have already been made by the city agencies involved. Start attending meetings of the Downtown Business Association. If they receive any public funding at all, they are required to have open meetings and open agendas. So you can do that. Activist Carol Denny was able to demand that effectively in Berkeley, California, about 7 or 8 years ago. And even the secretive Santa Cruz Downtown Association is now open to, it's up due to state law. Now, I don't know about the state law in Washington.
The Public Records Act and Open Meetings Act are pretty much exact duplicates of what California has. So, yeah, they do apply.
So get somebody on your team there who can, you know, do that pretty regularly. Start putting out letters to alternative publications. And then, of course, protests and demonstrations are a good idea, too. Show up in front of the stores and businesses that seem to be the worst movers this? I mean, first talk to them privately and say, look, we would like to, if you've got problems with homeless people doing something in a certain area, let's establish a mediation approach. Let's find, propose, we have an alternate solution here, which doesn't involve more criminalization. One of the problems is in Santa Cruz recently, for instance, that they, however, they are not changing the laws. They are just giving, they're just ignoring it when the police are coming and cracking down. And when that happens, you need things like cop watch, video cameras. You need regular written reports of what's happening, people following around, police patrols in those kinds of areas.
Yeah, I'll say we need more of that. My friend still has a wrist injury. He was put in a submission hold by a police officer who didn't like the way he was observing last week.
Compliance holds have been abandoned here in Santa Cruz. Although I'm not sure that how far they've been abandoned. That's not, they haven't been entirely been abandoned. They used to be big, you know, they were infamous. So you have a Citizens Police Review Board or anything like that in Olympia?
Oh, we don't at this point, no. I mean, not really.
Yeah, I mean, Citizens Police Review Boards...
But there's no formal review mechanism.
They're a mixed bag anyway. I mean, they're usually pretty powerless and pretty weak. But what you really want to do is argue for some kind of independent advocate who has prosecutory powers or oversight of the police department. Or demand open public hearings on police policies. If there's a police harassment policy, selective enforcement policy, you could demand that it be, you know, go to the appropriate city council committees at meetings and make demands. More important, go to the areas where it's happening and start mobilizing community support among organizations that deal with minority rights, whether we're talking disabled, people of color. Universities are also a good place to go to. Boy, I wish I could actually do what I'm talking about doing here. I'm nowhere near as effective in, you know, in actually doing something as in presenting the ideas. But, and you probably know a lot of these ideas already. I mean, they're.
But it's good to hear them all put together in one package. That's really great.
Sure. And as for abuse, you also need to start filing claims against the city, both for following them in regular court through real lawsuits, civil lawsuits in federal court. I don't know if you get in state courts, you don't actually get very far, at least in California, but you might, I don't know what the situation is in Washington. And then small claims is another avenue to try, because police have to appear without attorneys. And it can really, I mean, we haven't done much of that here, but it has been tried, for example, extensively in San Francisco with the Coalition on Homelessness. That's another resource for you. Call the San Francisco Coalition on Homelessness phone number there. If you got a pencil, I'll give you a moment.
I do.
It's 415-346-3740. San Francisco Coalition on Homelessness, 415-346-3740. They have an attorney, regularly take cases to court. They publish Street Sheet, a monthly publication sold by homeless people to vend. And, of course, you probably have your local, I guess, what is it, Real Change up there?
No, I don't think they sell that here.
Call Tim Harris, who I'm not always on the best of terms with, but he does. He was or is the editor of the Seattle homeless newspaper. And start establishing connections with them. There are a couple of other homeless newspapers in Washington. There were at the NASNA, North American Street Newspaper Association, meeting some years ago. And I think they're probably still around, but find out. You can also go on the Internet and look up NASNA. Send me, by the way, an email giving me an update on what you're doing, and I'll regularly talk about it so you don't have to spend money on the phone.
Right.
At rnorse@hotmail.com, rnorse@hotmail.com. You already have that.
Okay.
Then there's Street Roots, strong newspaper in Portland, Oregon. You may or may not know about it.
No, not at all.
Street Roots is a newspaper that effectively led the starting of Camp Dignity, which is now Dignity Village, which you may have heard about.
Right.
Dignity Village is, of course, a homeless-run encampment that has successfully forced the city to give it city support after moving from place to place illegally for 6 or 8 months. They have finally found more permanent quarters, admittedly off in the boonies and not the best area, but they are an example of a homeless encampment that has hung on, just as Seattle's Tent City 3 has done the same. You can find about that by calling I guess it's Real Change.
Uh-huh.
Up in, it's either Real Change or Spare Change, I'm not sure which, because I think one of them is from Boston and one of them is from Seattle. Street Roots, also, Portland is the city that has overturned its own camping ordinance. In 2000, a judge ruled that it was illegal, unconstitutional. Of course, police continued to harass people using other ordinances, and they have their hands full. but they have made some successful inroads. Call up Street Roots and talk to them there, or email them. You know, I might want to talk to my producer off air at some point. She can give you some tips. Her name is Becky Johnson, and her phone number is 831-429-8529.
8529,
For those who are listening, we're talking with, sounds like an activist or at least a listener from Olympia, Washington, who used to be in Santa Cruz. You've asked me a question which I haven't answered yet, which is the history of the Santa Cruz harassment, which is endless, of course, and depends on how detailed you want to go. I'll kind of briefly hit on that, and then you'll be able to actually hear stories from the street, which you probably have heard already if you've listened to this before.
Yeah, I have.
There's also some legal resources, the National Law Center for Homelessness and Poverty, which is a Washington, D.C.-based group, and it's on the Internet. National Law Center for Homelessness and Poverty publishes a report every year on a different aspect of the criminalization of homeless people. This year, I think they survey 30 or 40 cities about new anti-homeless laws, and it usually costs $20 to get their report. They're kind of cheesy and stingy, but they also have a summary of their report, which you may be able to get free. And they also would appreciate getting information from you about what's happening in Olympia, Washington.
Right, which there is definitely stuff happening here.
And I'd love to get a report from you regularly. You feel free, in fact, if you want to do a regular kind of update from Olympia, you might get in touch with my producer, same phone number, and she can call you, sparing you the expense, you know, every week for a brief report, or every other week, or every month, if you'd like to do that.
Absolutely.
Keep us advised, because I think we really need to know what's going on. You can also associate with other activist groups concerned with other issues, you know, whether it's WTO, anti-war, decriminalization of marijuana and other so-called drugs.
Right.
That are interested in challenging and direct ways, and there are possibilities for coalition here. Also, senior citizen groups that are being harassed, veterans groups. Young people usually get the brunt of the shit from authorities. So, you know, there are other groups to go to. Community television is a good resource to use. You probably have a community television station. Use it.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, and set up your own micro-power radio station, number two. I know you have one you're listening to us on. Well, you know, get together a bunch of people for another $1,000 and a transmitter, and that's all it costs, and rent a place, and get a second station going. Start documenting police abuse on the Internet through the Indie Media website or whatever website you have. I think you probably have Seattle Indie Media.
We do, yeah.
You know, put all the pictures of the police officers on the website, you know, with special stars for the good officers and, I don't know, fecal material for the bad ones, you know, or whatever. In other words,
right.
You get people to document their stories, because the problem is, even if you take them to court, attorneys will often tell you, well, you want to keep quiet about this till the case is resolved, and then you don't hear anything for 3 years, and that doesn't help too much. ACLU and other civil rights organizations can be helpful. In Santa Cruz, they're not, but in some cities they are, and ACLU has grown by 50% since Ashcroft. One thing to do is to show, if people oppose Ashcroft at the national level, how about the local Ashcrofts that are doing it to poor people? Check that out, and that's what we're having down here with our new belong laws. And that's, there's more, but hey, you know, I could go on for a while.
Right. Well, that's great. That's a great, set of leads.
Sure. And I'll give you a very brief capsule update after a few interviews if you want to stay tuned.
Absolutely.
And for those who want to listen in to your station in Olympia, do you have a website, or do you stream up there?
Well, it's 91.3 FM, and they carry Free Radio Santa Cruz and also a lot of Free Radio Olympia. So that's the only website that I know, is the Free Radio Olympia. I know there's an email account, fro@riseup.net. So that's the way people can get in touch. And I'll also mention that Food Not Bombs is today at 1 o'clock at Sylvester Park.
That's once a week you do that?
Once a week, yeah. That one has the least problems, as far as I can tell. It's Food Not Bombs. It's more Bread and Roses that's had all the heat.
Huh. Bread and Roses, the Catholic organization?
Yeah, the Catholic Worker Kitchen.
Well, support them. I don't, you know, posters, flyers, talk to the nearby businesses. See who's generating the heat. Is it the police department? Is it the city staff? Here in Santa Cruz, it's often a small coterie of conservatives who've been you know, paid for years more than $100,000 a year salary to, you know, impose a conservative agenda. I mean, that's their salary and that's their choice. I'm not saying that they're getting, you know, suborned.
Yeah, in this case, a lot. It does seem to be the downtown association and the business owners. Some are straight up on the bottom line. Some have some values and principles besides just money.
Go to their meetings.
They're all torn.
Go to their meetings. And get all the information you can from the city staff about what they're doing. Often the city council is simply a front for the city staff, or they allow the city staff to essentially, you know, roll forward. I don't know if Olympia has a weak city council system like the Santa Cruz city council system, but here it's, you know, city manager Dick Wilson, police chief Steve Belcher, and city attorney John Barisone, and I don't know, the head of Parks and Rec and the head of the redevelopment agency, Cecil Cirillo, all run the show here. And they tell the city council, in essence, what to do.
So. Yeah, I don't know how weak or strong it is compared, but definitely the one most progressive voice on the council is they're trying to depose her because she's opposing the big multimillion-dollar convention center. So,
what's her name?
Laura Ware.
Is she a Green Party member or?
No, I believe she's with the Democratic Party, but my impression is she's probably the most most progressive person on there.
Well, make regular requests for her to get FYIs from the staff about what's going on with this, what's going on with that. Where are the police reports on so-called complaints and harassments against, you know, of the homeless people? What about the compliance hold? Has there been a study of its medical? How many people have died, on, you know, after use of the compliance hold? What about pepper spray? You can ask her for a, you know, to request a report on this from the police department, and the city council usually doesn't even vote on it, at least here in Santa Cruz. I don't know what your thing is up in Olympia. You can get those things through through a council member.
That's a great idea. Yeah, because we had another guy, he was shoplifting, allegedly, something from a store, and the cops tasered him to death in the parking lot and then denied the taser had anything to do with his death.
It was simply one of those death by suicide by cop, eh?
Yeah.
He just decided
like
he couldn't take it anymore.
Heart attack at the time.
Probably a drug addict, anyway.
Depending on his flesh.
Well, listen, what's your name?
You can call me DJ American.
Hey, DJ American. I appreciate your calling in. I'm going to roll. I'll give you a... Do you want to make your question any more specific about the history? Because I could go on for about 3 days talking about this.
No, just basically what happened, how did the liberals roll over, and how did the money get so much clout in a town that used to be, the Santa Cruz Mall used to be a relaxed and opening place to hang out. I used to be able to sleep on the beaches. You could park in, you know, a parking lot and just sleep in your van. It wasn't so bad back in the day. And so something really bad is happening.
You're here. All right, I can answer that on air or off air, your choice.
On air is great.
I mean, I can answer it. You want to stay on the air yourself?
No, I'll just listen.
Okay.
I'll get off, yeah.
Alrighty.
Okay, thank you, Robert.
Hey, thank you, DJ American.
Okay, have
Bye-bye.
A good day.
Alrighty. Bye-bye. And, wow, that was a caller from Olympia, Washington, as you may have heard, calling in for some tips. Boy, they can give us some tips. We're in trouble here, too. He was here in Santa Cruz, as he says, in the 80s, says it's gotten a lot worse, and in some respects it certainly has. So I want to remind him and others that they were shooting, they were killing homeless people. Police department was killing homeless people directly, and some would say that they have still been doing that in some instances in the last 10 years. With the so-called Code Blue in the late 70s that was exposed and resulted in a shakeup in the police department where old Chief Gino Pini, I kid you not, as his name was, P-I-N-I, I think it is, was replaced by out-of-town city slicker Jack Bassett. But they didn't really replace many of the mid-level staff. So the people, you know, like Belcher, who's an old liner from those days, and I have no idea what his involvement was or wasn't with Code Blue. I'm not suggesting he was, except I know that he has kicked homeless people on the street. I have testimony from Robert Flory that happened to him. He has lied about under oath on issues in court. I have testimony from union leader Ned von Falkenberg on that issue. And I know about it myself from some personal experience. So the history earlier a Santa Cruz, while it was more laid back in terms of having this beautiful, wandering, planter-laden, leafy green mall downtown, the truly Pacific Garden Mall, and it did have beaches open for a while, there was massive ticketing of homeless people for sleeping, more so than now. They were issuing hundreds of tickets a year. I have to be candid about this. An activist in 1988 estimated $500,000 to $1 million a year was spent on homeless tickets. He actually had documented that with a report. What was his name? Ackerley? Don't know. I have to look up old issues of our Santa Cruz homeless publication, The Street Shit Sheet. I encourage you to go to the library. The main library in Santa Cruz does carry every single back issue of The Street Shit Sheet, all 167 issues of it. You can read through it. It's a very interesting. It's a lot of it is my perspective. A lot of it is from the streets and perspectives of other people who were there. In any case, what about this? Well, the parks were closed by Jim Lang, Department of Parks and Rec, who had got that done in 1984, about the time he came into office. He recently retired, and there's some infighting or... there's infighting, but there's no permanent head of Parks and Rec yet. The Danette Shoemaker is the, or Danielle Shoemaker, is it? Not sure what her name is. D. Shoemaker. Is it going to be her or Steve Hammack? Who knows who's going to be the Führer of Parks and Rec? We used to call him Lebensraum Jim Lang because of his anti-homeless policies. Though he was a nice enough guy. I mean, that's the problem with all these people. I know them all, you know, casually and... You know, as people you would meet in a store and chat with, they're fine people. I mean, and I like them. They're all pretty much, I mean, I kind of think they're probably all liberal Democrats. So that's the irony. They are presiding over an endless crackdown against the homeless. And what happened? Well, Celine Marie Pascal is a UCSC writer who has written extensively on her perspective on why the city council did its fundamental turnaround on, let's say, the downtown. Now, the city council has never been a big champion of the homeless, but for example, in 1980, when some conservative merchants wanted to eliminate the street performers, the city council progressives, who were not then in a majority, they acquired a majority in 1983 with the election of Marty Wormhout and John Laird, who are by no means progressive in any meaningful way, but they were progressive on some issues, and they got the label of being progressive, and of course they're regarded as progressive. She's now our supervisor, and he's now, what, in the assembly? I mean, it's just, you know, it's a stepping ladder to political power is unfortunately what we see here, rather than any meaningful commitment to principle over time. In any case, the Santa Cruz City Council eliminated and derailed all the merchant police proposals to criminalize street performing or to require elaborate permits for it. And instead, Tom Noddy, the bubble blower and the street performer, along with Jan Luby and others, got together and got the voluntary street performers guidelines, which worked effectively for 22 years until they were unilaterally destroyed by, again, coterie of staff and the city council last year, who decided they just didn't want them anymore, and the city council's compliant, I'd like to say ass-licking, because I think that really kind of covers it, this policy of covering for the staff is just really kind of obscene and disgusting, when it's the city council should be holding the staff to account, particularly when the city council has been elected for that purpose repeatedly here in Santa Cruz, but has declined to do it. It's really a sad lesson. In any case, back in the day, in the 80s, the street performers got voluntary guidelines went into effect and stayed that way, to some extent through negotiations between Noddy and various city council members, so we might say that he had a progressive kind of connection. Now, there were occasional eruptions from time to time. I mean, Marty Wormhout would complain about sexual harassment downtown, and that's a real problem in any society, in modern-day America, anywhere, and it would be translated into anti-homeless kind of directives to the police department, but not necessarily from the city council. Since the police department would crack down on homeless people downtown at different points, and as I said, massively for sleeping. But it was true that, for example, at the county level, an attempt to make a countywide camping ban was defeated by massive organizing. And this is part of the answer, perhaps, to the question. There was organizing and demonstrating going on in the 80s, and the 70s, and even the early 90s, that we don't have today, partially because the cost of living has gone up so much that nobody has any time to do shit, although it seems like, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people came out against the war in Iraq, but then, whoop, they all disappeared, even though U.S. troops are still in Iraq. The war in Iraq is still going on. And, you know, the neocons are planning to go into Syria or into Iran, you name it. I mean, there's all kinds of horrors going on with the Democrats making these feeble, partial objections. So we had more protesting in the 80s, in the 90s. We had more demonstrating. The rents, of course, were more reasonable. And here, again, is, I think, one of the keys. The rents have gone up enormously, both in terms of commercial rents downtown, which turn the merchants into paranoid people, even when they come from liberal or even hippie-ish roots. They abandon that, and when they get their own little store and it's their piece of the turf, and they start blaming poor people, young people, Latino people, you name it, people who are, they think, driving away the tourists, when, and I don't want to give a figure, but I would say much of the time that's not the case. In fact, it is the color of the town that brings people to town. No, indeed, some people are turned off. They prefer a Disneyland, they prefer a Carmel, a Capitola, but nonetheless, you know, those options do exist for those people. Santa Cruz was a different option for a different class of people. However, gentrification has been the deal. The massive influx of San Jose people, Silicon Valley people, and the expansion of the University of California, which has been creating additional pressure, seizing all the housing, driving the rents sky high, taking up all the parking spaces, you name it. At the city council level, I mentioned the name of Celine Marie Pascal, a writer who observed that people like Scott Kennedy, the co-founder of the Resource Center for Nonviolence, who's been reelected as a council member, he looks like he wants to challenge Mike Rotkin's Guinness Book of World Records, longest ever sellout council member. Rotkin came in 79, and he's on the council now. He hasn't been there continuously, but he's been reelected, five times. Kennedy, I think, has been reelected three times. I think that's right. Kennedy came in, and he actually was defending homeless people and defending civil rights for people. But after about 2 years, he abandoned that. And after 2 years later, as mayor in 1994, he actually championed the anti-homeless laws, which came directly from Seattle, Washington, of all places, and the roulette decision up there, which made it suddenly legal to have these don't-sit-near-a-building laws, because they weren't really violations of your rights. They were restrictions only on time, place, and manner, which, of course, is not true. They actually impose on the substance of your right to use the public space, because, particularly in Santa Cruz, they become so intrusive. Anyway, apparently, Kennedy and the council sort of did this deal with the merchants. Because of the earthquake, that was the other factor, when there was so much destruction and loss of business, there was a decision made that they would succumb to the merchant agenda and pass a whole series of essentially anti-homeless laws in order to solidify this alliance with the merchants. This was Neil Coonerty, the bookshop Santa Cruz, owner and also city council member and mayor the year before Scott Kennedy, was instrumental in pushing these laws which make it illegal to sit. It was then 6 feet from a building, now 14 feet from a building in any business or commercial district, which essentially criminalizes 95% of the sidewalks in those districts and 100% of the sidewalks in most areas of the business areas, which have only 10-foot-wide sidewalks. You can go sit in the street, I guess. Benches were removed because staff got great amounts of autonomy and authority. The redevelopment agency acquired great power after the earthquake. Again, it was given a lot of money, given free rein, and so private interests like the Mercy Housing seized all the affordable housing money, essentially ran off all the low-income Latinos who were there previously, or many of them, at the, for example, Dolphin Lee Project, now called the Nueva Vista Project, and put in their own low-income housing with city money, which, it's actually subsidized housing, it's not low-income housing, which destroyed more housing than it created. And at the same time, the stage is now set to give away more stuff back to the Seaside Company and other large corporations. The Seaside Company is the big corporation in town, really, though there are other large corporations. Seaside is our own domestic big corporation. That kind of covers some of it. The activist pressure against the sleeping ban, which is a section of the camping ban, was able to get the police to start using harassment rather than ticketing tactics, although that's still being done significantly. People are numerous, I don't know how many we've got. I put in a Public Records Act request to the courts, and they have delayed so far 2 months in giving me any information about what's going on, how many cases actually show up in court. There are police records of how many citations are issued that people can get. And they are, what, like 20 or 30 a month, but it doesn't in any way indicate the broader homeless, hostile atmosphere that is developing, ranging from deals with the judicial authorities to have stay-away orders from the downtown, to harassment of people with their medical marijuana, to destruction of Section 8 housing, to this whole permit parking plan, which will criminalize parking at night everywhere in Santa Cruz that Matt Farrell wants. He's the head of the Public Works. He will tell you, of course, and you're going to hear an interview with him, which I actually was able to put together. It was originally at Mickey Mouse speed, thanks to some timely intervention by Joe Williams' excellent musical equipment. I was able to slow it down to reasonable speed, and you'll be hearing some of that later in the show. That covers some of it, and there's, of course, more. But why don't we take a musical break?
With Becky Johnson. Becky, you just had a conversation with a 90-year-old man?
He's a 91-year-old man. He's a resident of the St. George Hotel. And I told him about the railing being moved so no one can sit there anymore. And he said, that's ridiculous. There's room for everybody down here.
Obviously, the man is some sort of stooge of some particular political group.
It's the kind of business that doesn't represent at all the values that the city of Santa Cruz embodies of diversity and color and freedom of expression and creativity. This is a repressive business that has been undergoing a snitch campaign for 3 months behind the scenes, snitching and calling the cops and the hosts on everybody and everything. They're probably calling the cops right now because I'm speaking out. We don't need the Pacific Trading Company on Pacific Avenue. If they go out of business, then so be it. They've made their bed, they can lie in it, and I encourage people not to shop here. This is a bigoted merchant. We don't need their kind in our town.
Well, and across the street, it looks like a lieutenant in full uniform is walking up and down, keeping an eye on the situation. Sign our petition. Check it out.
And what you're listening to here is about a week and a half ago, a table in front of the Pacific Trading Company at the site of the now infamous no-sitting planter railing at Walnut and Pacific, where they spent $7,200 to move the railing 4 inches, lying about it, saying they were going to remove the rust and repair the railing when no such thing was, if it was contemplated, it was never done. But Martine Bernal gave out misinformation on that subject. We're hearing some more street commentary on that.
Conspiracy to cleanse the mall, always with the help of the helpful hosts, the folks who walk around with the little blue coats on. And they always have a little phone. She's waving at us. Everyone wave at the host. There they are. Local snitches downtown, folks. These are the folks who inform on poor and young people. They are finger people for the police.
And they ignore middle-class people who are committing the same activity.
And they keep very close connection with the police, as you can see. They're on the line here. This is the hospitality, Santa Cruz style. This is what kind of hospitality you get here. You get police officers without guns walking around. This is really what this is. People who will put you in jail if they find you sitting in the wrong place in Santa Cruz. The hosts. The hosts. These are the people that are doing it to everybody here at their preference.